Father, I am waiting. I need to hear from you. To know that you're approving of what I say and do. Nothing really satisfies like when you speak my name. So tell me that you'll never leave, and everything will be okay in your presence. All fear is gone in your presence. In your presence, it's where I belong. In your
worship team. Thank you for a new song. It's really touched my heart. Thank you so much. Good afternoon. Rainy outside. It's getting cold a little bit. I've never done it before. But this evening, we are going to go to the church in the south area of Hiroshima City. We so-called Smile Concert will be there. And that's the church's Hiroshima Christian musicians get together and have a concert to reach out to people. And in that concert, I will ask the offering. I've never done that before as a pastor. but my sister asked me to do that, so I have to do. So I got kind of nervous because I've never preach about offering or something, you know, because offering is not the kind of thing we are demanded, you know. It's kind of spontaneous respond to God. That's what we receive from God. We give it back to God, you know. So it's not a mandatory thing, you know. You have to give back to God or any kind of thing. So I don't want to do that, but I was asked. So I can't remember when I preached in English service last time, maybe July. That's a long time, because I've been kind of busy Sunday afternoon. Let me explain what I'm doing now. Is it 100% different story from I'm going to preach? But I'm now in the project to reach out the people, so-called hikikomori in Japanese. Hikikomori is a social withdrawal. or it's called NEET, N-E-E-T, the no employment, no education people. In Japan, we have, I don't know, about a million young people, almost a million young people, are called NEET or social withdrawal. They don't do anything, you know. Some are stuck in their rooms. Some are just hanging around. So it's a big problem in Japan. And some are have kind of mental disease or depression, this kind of thing, but some are not. So I'm in the project that actually Japan, the part of the government is doing some kind of research, you know, how many people are those kind of situation, how could we try to reach out them and bring them out. So I go in some meetings, you know, so I also do the meeting with our staff. And so it started end of June, so I've been very busy because other staffs are Japanese and they are working on weekdays, so I have to meet them and the parents, so the kind of stuff. So please pray for two, you know. And I want to reach out to those kind of people, not to bring them out to work outside, but to bring them back to God, you know. So I want to satisfy their material or mental need, but their spiritual need as a pastor. So I'm doing with my prayer, but it's a lot of job, it's a big job, and but they need God, they need Jesus, but they don't know Jesus. Without Jesus, nothing, our lives are nothing. You know? So I'd like to give them through my psychological skills and through my through our team social skill trainings and kind of stuff. So, okay, anyway, this afternoon I'd like to read Mark chapter 4, verse 21, chapter 5, verse 21 to 43. It's so-called a dead girl and a sick woman. The title of this message is Touch Your Jesus. Let me read. When Jesus had again crossed over by boat to the other side of the lake, a large crowd gathered around him while he was by the lake. Then one of the synagogue rulers, named Jairus, came there. Seeing Jesus, he fell at his feet and pleaded earnestly with him. My little daughter is dying. Please come and put your hands on her so that she will be healed and live. So Jesus went with him. A large crowd followed and pressed around him, and a woman was there who had been subjected to bleeding for 12 years. She had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and had spent all she had. Yet instead of getting better, she grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak, because she thought, if I just touch his clothes, I will be healed. Immediately, her bleeding stopped, and she felt in her body that she was freed from her suffering. At once, Jesus realized that power had gone out from him. He turned around in the crowd and asked, "Who touched my clothes?" "You see the people crowding against you," his disciples answered, "and yet you can't ask who touched me?" But Jesus kept looking around to see who had done it. Then the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell at his feet, and trembling with fear, told him the whole truth. He said to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering." While Jesus was still speaking, some men came from the house of Jairus, the synagogue ruler. "Your daughter is dead," they asked. "Why bother the teacher anymore?" "Ignore what they said," Jesus told the synagogue ruler. "Don't be afraid. Just believe." He did not let anyone follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. When they came to the house of the synagogue ruler, Jesus saw a commotion with people crying and wailing loudly. He went in and said to them, "Why all this commotion and wailing? The child is not dead, but asleep." But they laughed at him. After he put them all out, he took the child's father and mother and disciples who were with him, and went in where the child was. He took her by the hand and said to her, "Talitha cum," which means, "Little girl, I say to you, get up." Immediately, the girl stood up and walked around. She was 12 years old. At this, they were completely astonished. He gave strict orders not to let anyone know about this and told them to give her something to eat. Amen. Beautiful story. But as you realize, in this passage, two stories united on purpose, or it happened at the same time, but it's really interesting. There are two women. One is a girl. How old? 12 years old. One is a woman. She'd been sick for 12 years. And the father of the daughter came to Jesus, and he fell at his feet and pleaded earnestly with him. The woman who touched Jesus' clothes, she realized what had happened on her. She fell at his feet. The same. But what's the difference? Of course, a lot of different things. Because the daughter was dead. But the woman, she was not dead. She was alive. But she's trying to touch Jesus because she thought, what? If I just touch his clothes, I'll be healed. She believed that just I touched his clothes. How she believed that? She believed it. just I touch the cloth, I'll be healed. She never met Jesus, I think. She never tried it before. But after 12 years, her long, long suffering, suffered by great deal under the care of many doctors, spent all she had. So she lost her money, she lost her hope, she lost her life. She was still alive, but she lost everything. So she was alive, but we can tell she's almost dead. But she has only hope. Jesus was the only hope. But she had no connection with Jesus. She can ask like the ruler. He was a ruler of synagogue. So he's kind of a famous man. So he was kind of leader of the town. So he can come to Jesus and ask. But even the ruler, he fell at Jesus' knee and asked. But she did not have any relation with Jesus. So the only thing she can do is touch Jesus. That is her final hope. But as you know, the people who had this kind of disease were not allowed in the crowd, because the woman who had a bleeding is impure. So she was not supposed to be there. But she maybe she thought, even if somebody identified her and she was blamed, she didn't care because Jesus was the only hope. So she went in the crowd and trying to touch Jesus. But the miracle happened. Miracle happened. Many people were there, and many people tried to touch Jesus, like the movie star came to our town, you know. I've never touched the famous movies or something, but about 3 months ago, I went to see the professional golf tour in Okayama. I don't know if you know this man, but he's an 18 years boy. I don't know, 17 years? He's called Hanigami Oji. It's a young man who won the golf tournament last year. Was the youngest professional golf tour winner in all the world. So he came that tournament. So I was invited by my friend to go to see him. It's a lot of crowd. Wow. Especially old, not old, aged. Ah, no, aged. Girl, used to be girls. You know, women. A lot of women. Wow, I've never seen the women in the golf tournament, you know. Wow. And they were like, you know, the crowd like this. So they go where the Ryokun goes, you know. And after he hit the so the crowd went with him. And right after him, next group, there's one who earned the most prize last year, but nobody there. But the Ryo-kun didn't win. he's young. He's young but powerful. He's a good player. But I've never seen that kind of crowd, you know. So I imagined how it happened when Jesus came to town, small town, other people, and trying to see Jesus, trying to talk to Jesus, trying to touch Jesus. And many people try and touch Jesus, but only one, this woman, can get the power from Jesus. Why? Because she believed in Jesus. Because Jesus was the only hope for her. And she like put his life on what she did. So she get the power. So Jesus, this is another amazing point of this story. Jesus felt the power came out from him. Jesus said, "Who touched my clothes?" Jesus can feel somebody touched his clothes by faith. So even now, I think, Jesus feels when we pray, when we try to touch him by faith, Jesus feels what we believe. Do you believe that? We pray, of course. But do you believe? Really? 100%? Do you believe that Jesus is the only one who answers your prayer? Do you believe that Jesus can heal you? Do you believe that Jesus can do what you really ask him? With 100%. Yeah, sincerely speaking, as a Christian, as a pastor, I pray every day. But sometimes I don't believe. Sorry. I pray, of course. Pray, of course, but I, in my heart, said, "Well, maybe, maybe, yeah, yeah, of course, he's God, he knows my prayer." Yeah. But it happens. Sometimes no. Yeah. Yeah. That's an excuse kind of stuff. But I read through the story. I repent myself, you know. I have to believe. I have to touch him. You know, not say something. That's a difference from this father. You know, of course he believed in Jesus and he asked Jesus, "Come to his house and touch her." But this woman is different. She never says something, but she just trying to touch Jesus because she believed that. But when this happens, the bad news came. The ruler's daughter was dead. Wow. So the people said, "Well, Jesus, you don't need to go. The daughter is dead. Why bother the teacher anymore?" But the Bible said, verse 36, ignoring what they said, Jesus told the synagogue ruler. I love it. Ignoring what they said. ignoring what they said means. Ignore is a faith. You know, don't listen to somebody tell you, well, it's no more. You don't need to pray, you know. Well, it's okay. It's happened. You know, it's gone. It's a reality. It's a world we live. But Jesus ignored what they say. I need this belief, you know. No matter what I'm told, I ignore what they say. Because I believe Jesus. I believe God. Because Jesus knows. Jesus had his reality. His reality is different from ours. His world is different from our world. So I need this. So Jesus just went to the house and get into the room. What did he do? Did he touch her? Did he the father asked him? No. He didn't touch her. He said, Talitha kum is Aramaic, which means, little girl, I say to you, get up. Two words, getting a long sentence in English. It's weird. Talitha kum. Jesus ordered the dead girl, stand up. Stand up. They were, and she, what? The girl, get up. Immediately, the girl stood up and walked. The Bible said, the kind of weird thing, she was 12 years old. The Bible commentator said, maybe she was on bed for 12 years. She's never walked. She just grew. Or maybe the parents never see she was walking. So the Bible said she was 12 years old. That's why she get up, he stand up and walked. I walked around. So it's over answer, you know. What the father asked Jesus, come to my house and touch my daughter. Then, because she's dying, and come to put your hand on so that she will be healed and live. But when Jesus called, she says something, she stood up and walked around. That's a difference from the father asked Jesus. But the people astonished, and he gave strict order not to let anyone know, or anybody know now about this. And told them to give her something to eat. She must be so hungry. Yeah. So we can come to Jesus. Ask Jesus. But we need faith. We have to touch him. Not just say something. Or even not just ask him. We should not limit his power. The father asked Jesus, come to my house and touch my daughter, then she'll live. But Jesus did not touch her. She just said something. It happened. It happened more than the father asked Jesus. The woman, she believed, if I can touch Jesus, I'll be healed. And immediately, her bleeding stopped, and she felt in her body that she was freed from his suffering. So, if you something in your heart, if you want to ask Jesus, come to him and touch him, but you need faith. Believe in him. And don't limit his power. Don't make your own plan. Jesus gives you bigger plan you have than you have. Jesus gives you more miracle than you expect. That is our Jesus. Don't put your Jesus in your reality. His reality is different from yours. Amen? Amen? Don't put yourself in, don't put Jesus in your small world. Jesus created this whole universe. How come you put your Jesus in your small country? In your small world? That's ridiculous. Jesus can anything. Jesus create anything. Jesus can change anything. If you believe. If you believe in Jesus and touch him, you'll see the miracle. We believe in Jesus, not just a wonderful man. We do not believe Jesus as a good teacher. We believe in Jesus as our Savior, right? As our Creator, right? We need believe. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, thank you that we can read the story, familiar, but we could learn a lot of things. Lord, we pray, we ask, sometimes we plead, but we often pray without faith, or we just think as our rule, as our plan, Lord. Lord, let us take all our common sense or all our ideas, Lord. And just let us just put ourselves into your world, Lord. And we believe and we touch you, Lord. Because you're the one who can only solve our problems, and you will do more than we expected, Lord. We believe in Lord as a Savior. We believe in Lord as God, as the God, Lord, and who can change the whole universe, Lord. Lord, make our face big and large. Make our face more strong. We don't want to be like a ordinary Christians. We want to be the Christians We believe in you. We believe that Jesus, you give us miracle every day. Lord, thank you. Thank you that through your words, you strengthen our faith, Lord. Thank you that your wisdom and guidance in our spirit by your Holy Spirit, Lord, every day. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. As you know, this is the first Sunday. We have a communion today. A communion is the so-called Lord's Supper. The supper, we just bite a small piece of bread and a glass of grape juice, but this is the supper of the best. We celebrate with Jesus. We can't see Jesus, but Jesus is here, and he gives you bread. This is not just the bread, this is his body. And he gives you, he gives us the glass. That is his blood, his life. So this is not just a meal or drink. This is spiritual food. So we can live everlasting. Now we can live with Jesus. Now our whole being are saved and will be changed. Let's read communion scripture. Jesus Christ, who being in very nature God, did not... with me, please. Jesus Christ, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow in heaven and on earth, and under the earth every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Amen. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, thank you so much that our for sin, because you're away from you, Lord. Father, you sent your Son in this world to redeem us, to buy us from sinful world. Lord, thank you. Jesus gave us this wonderful banquet. Now we will have your body. We'll have your blood, Jesus. Now we'll let our spiritual eyes open and to understand your grace and your love through this communion, Lord. And Lord, if we have sins in our heart that we do not confess, now we confess you, Lord. Now we want to rebuild relationship, good relationship with you, Lord. Lord, bless this food. Bless this cup. In Jesus' name, amen.